Welcome to Knowing Christ, the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle. We're glad you're listening and encourage you to tune in each week as we study God's Word. Our desire is that each week we will know Christ more and more.
The Lord promises that He will bring His people Israel to faith and repentance and into the full inheritance of this land. These servants, Elijah and Elisha, are not to be discouraged when they minister for the Lord and there are no seeming outward results.
Listen as Rich introduces today's message.
Well, thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. Today we open up our Bibles to 2 Kings 2, where we read a fascinating story, a story that encourages us in engaging with Jesus and the mission that He's given to us as followers of Him, as His disciples. You know, if you are a member of Jesus' church, if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, God has included you into the mission that He is doing in the present world. And central to that mission is His church. And as we come together as local churches, using the gifts and talents and abilities and energy and life that God gives to us, we pursue together the mission that Jesus continues to this present day and all the way to the end of the age. How encouraging it is to know that Jesus has a place for us. And so let's open up our Bibles together as we think about our place in Jesus' mission so that we might connect to the mission and the purpose that He's given to us and why we're still here on this earth. What a wonderful opportunity we have.
So what would you do if you were told that today would be your last day on earth? Some might scramble to get their financial house in order. Others might get their spiritual house in order as they prepare to meet God. Others might reach out to family and friends for one last loving conversation. Others might reach out to people whom we've wronged to confess our sins and to seek reconciliation. Others might worship the Lord in your own church family, even as we're doing today. And perhaps on that day, if you knew this was the last day on earth, when you come to worship your church family, you'd sing with greater joy. You might even raise your hands. I don't know. But if it was your last day and you knew nobody's, you know, who cares what people say, you might raise your hands. You might listen to a sermon with greater intensity. You might even say amen now and then. You might pray with greater passion and zeal and faith. Perhaps you'd turn your handshakes into hugs. What would you do if you were told that today is your last day on earth? Well, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you think about this question in a totally different way than those who are without Christ. Here's what Paul says about it in Romans 14. He says, "For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's." He says we look totally at that day differently because, hey, if God has another day, it's all about the Lord. If God doesn't have another day here on earth, it's all about the Lord. We are His possession. It's not our life that we're living. It's His life that lives through us and in us. Either way, He cares for me completely. He cares for me in life. He cares sufficient for me in death. He leads me every step of the way. Every day I live for His glory. And on that day, I know that He will take me to His house. And there forever and ever, I will be with Him and with all the saints in absolute happiness. Well, Elijah wakes up in the city of Gilgal, and God communicates to him that he will be taken out of this world on this very day. God also tells his servant, Elisha, that this will be Elijah's last day on earth. It is significant that these two start out together in Gilgal. Remember that Gilgal is the city where the Israelites first camped when Joshua led them across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. Gilgal is a place of new beginnings. And this is going to be a new beginning for Elijah, as he leaves this old dusty earth filled with corruption and idolatry and sin, and as he is about to begin his new life with God forever and ever in heaven. This also is going to be a new beginning for Elisha, as God has ordained for him to take Elijah's place as his prophet to wayward Israel. You recall that some 16 years earlier, the Lord directed Elijah to place his cloak upon Elisha as a sign of the Lord's ordination for Elisha into his ministry. On that day, Elisha told Elijah, "I will follow you." And for these past 16 years, Elisha has been following Elijah in readiness to be used by the Lord. He's been in the shadows. He's largely been in obscurity. But he's been humbly present with Elijah, simply serving the Lord. Elisha knows that this is a day of new beginnings. It's a day in which there will be a transfer of responsibility from Elijah to Elisha. So when Elijah gets up early that morning in Gilgal, and after having a large latte with really cool Fomart, he says to Elisha, "Hey, Elisha, you should just stay here in Gilgal. The Lord is sending me to Bethel, but really you should take a load off your feet, just relax, take a bit of a siesta today." Well, Elisha smiles and says, "You're not going to get rid of me that easy. 16 years ago, I promised I will follow you, and I am coming with you today." And so off they go on a refreshing walk to Bethel. It is significant that God would lead these two to Bethel. Remember that Bethel is a city where God reveals himself to Jacob and speaks to him. Jacob sleeps with a stone for a pillow. I'm sure he had a sore neck. But he also had a marvelous dream. And in this dream, parted from the Lord, Jacob sees a ladder. It's a ladder that reaches from earth all the way up to heaven, and there are angels that are climbing up and down on that ladder all night long. And the Lord himself is standing right at the top of that ladder. And in this dream, the Lord speaks to Jacob, and he says, "I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." You see, Bethel is a place of promise. The Lord promises that he will bring his people Israel to faith and repentance and into the full inheritance of this land. These servants, Elijah and Elisha, are not to be discouraged when they minister for the Lord and there are no seeming outward results. God is going to fulfill his word. He's going to fulfill his promise. He will use these two prophets for his glory. So when Elijah and Elisha arrive then at Bethel, there's some sons of the prophets that take Elisha aside. They say, "Hey, Elisha, the Lord told us that he's going to take Elijah out of this world today." Well, Elisha, he sighs with sadness and he replies, "I already know that. Don't talk to me about it again. It just makes me sad thinking about it. Leave me alone." Well, no sooner did Elisha find a nice shade tree in Bethel to cool off, Elijah comes and says, "Hey, Elisha, you should stay here in Bethel. You found a nice shade tree. It looks like you're relaxing. The Lord is sending me on to Jericho. But really, you should just stay here today." Well, Elisha smiles and he says, "I've been following you for 16 years. You're not going to get rid of me that easy. Nope, I'm coming with you." And off they go to Jericho. Now, it is significant that on the day of transfer for Elisha to take the mantle of responsibility for ministry, that the Lord would take these two to Jericho. Remember that Jericho is the city of conquest, where the Lord himself tears down the walls to demonstrate his power over the Canaanites, to demonstrate that he will fulfill the promise of a land occupied by giants. You see, Jericho, it's a place of victory. It's a place that says to this new minister that the Lord is able to do the impossible. These servants now remember that God never lacks might to fulfill his good purposes. Even when the enemy seems overwhelming, even when the enemy is frightening, nothing is too difficult for the Lord. When Elijah and Elisha arrive at Jericho, some sons of the prophet take Elisha's side. "Hey, Elisha, the Lord told us that he's going to take Elijah out of this world today." And Elijah sighs and with sadness, he says, "I already know that. Don't speak to me about it again. It just makes me sad thinking about this." No sooner did Elisha find a nice sycamore tree in Jericho to cool off when Elijah comes to him and says, "Hey, Elisha, you should just stay here in Jericho. the Lord's going to send me to the Jordan River, but really, you should relax. It's been a long day. We've walked miles and miles. Just stay here and take it easy. And Elisha smiles. He says, I've been following you for 16 years. You're not going to get rid of me that easy. Nope, I am coming with you. And so off they go to the banks of the Jordan. It is significant that God would lead these two to the Jordan River. Remember, this is the place where the Lord parted the waters so his people could walk across the River Jordan on dry ground. Here the Lord commanded them to take 12 stones from the middle of the river as a memorial to God's faithfulness to them. The Jordan River is a place of remembrance. The Lord wants, I believe, particularly Elisha, to remember his faithfulness, to remember his power, to remember his goodness. He knows that God's servants are prone to forget the Lord, especially when we're facing fearful, terrible trials. You see, the devil works upon our souls through our forgetfulness of God's past dealings. So he takes them to Jericho so that they would know that it's important to remember the Lord's fulfillment of his promises, to remember the faithfulness of the Lord, to remember the Lord's goodness. As Elijah and Elisha approach the rushing water of the Jordan River, 50 sons of the prophets now stand at a distance watching what's going to take place. They know that Elijah will be taken from Elisha at some point, and they're curious about what will happen. And as Elijah and Elisha stand on the western bank of the Jordan River, Elijah takes off his outer garment, he rolls it up, and he leans over and raises it high in the air, and he comes down striking the water with it. And the waters divide. Elijah steps down to the river floor, and then Elisha follows, and the ground under their feet, it's dry. This reminds them of the Lord's redemption of Israel from the Egyptian army as they chased him through the Red Sea as Moses raised his hands with his staff, and the Red Sea parted to make a safe way for Israel to escape. When they get to the other side, Elijah says, Elisha, before I'm taken from you, feel free to ask me for anything. You've stayed with me, even though I've spoken words to dissuade you. You've stayed with me. You followed me. You're a faithful servant of the Lord. And immediately Elisha responds, Elijah, I only want that one thing. Please give me a double portion of your spirit. I want to serve the Lord. And I know that I cannot serve the Lord in my own strength and my own power. I need the Spirit of God to be upon me. And I see how God has used you. I've seen how God has empowered you to do his will. And I want to do the will of the Lord. I want to serve him too. And I can't do that in my own strength. Please grant me a double portion of your spirit. I need the Lord to work in me so that I have the same faith, that I have the same courage, that I have the same obedience to God's commands that you have. I know that without these spiritual qualities, I will absolutely and utterly fail as God's servant. Well, Elijah loves this God-exalting request, and yet he knows that God's spiritual blessing is not his to give. Only the Lord could grant this sovereign, life-giving grace to his soul. And he smiles with pleasure as he answers, Elisha, what you are asking is something that I am not able to give you. Only the Lord can give that to you, but the Lord is gracious, and the Lord has revealed to me that if you see me as I'm taken from you, this will be a sign to you that the Lord is granting you a double portion of the faith, the obedience and courage that God has given to me. But if you do not see me as I'm taking from you, the Lord will not give you what you ask. Well, Elisha, from that moment forward, kept his eyes riveted upon Elijah. In fact, even when Elisha blinked, he only closed one eye. So they walked and they talked on the eastern side of the Jordan, and they walked and they talked some more. Elisha knows that this dear father figure is going to be taken away from him, and he just has so many questions just bubbling out. He wants to hear the wisdom and the faith and the truth that Elijah has to share. And then suddenly, out of the sky, there is a chariot of fire drawn by horses of fire, and in a moment they whisk down right between Elijah and Elisha, separating them. And at that moment, on Elijah's side of the chariot, there is a great wind gust that begins to blow. And the wind gust is so strong, at first it's blowing Elisha's clothes, and then it is picking Elisha up. And then the chariot of fire with the horses of fire begins to rise, and Elisha begins to rise alongside in a whirlwind, and up, 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 all the way until Elijah disappears into heaven. As an aside, Elijah is not in the chariots of fire as he ascends into heaven. He's transported by the wind. The chariots are present to show God's protection in the departure from this world of his servant. Well, Elisha sees it all, and all he can think of is his loss. Elijah, his spiritual dad, is gone. He cries out, my father, do not leave me. Oh, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen. Elisha now stands all alone, and it's absolutely quiet. In grief, he tears his own clothes into two pieces as an act of mourning. He's grieving like a son would grieve the death of a beloved dad. He misses Elijah already. But then he sees something fluttering and dropping down from the sky, and it's Elijah's cloak, and it lands on the ground. It's the only thing left of Elijah. He runs over, he picks it up, he puts the cloak over him, and he heads back to the Jordan. When he arrives at the bank of the Jordan, he's still outside the promised land. The water is too deep, the current too swift for him to cross. There are no bridges. And so he does what Elijah had done just an hour or so earlier. He takes Elijah's cloak and he rolls it up and he raises in the sky. And as he strikes the water, he says, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" You see, he's wondering, is it really true that the Lord will fulfill his promise? I did see him go. That means that there will be a double portion blessing upon me. But is it true that the Lord will be with me? And then as the cloak hits the waters part, and Elisha walks across the Jordan River on dry ground. And from that moment on, Elisha knows that the Lord fulfills his word, that the Lord will give him spiritual life and spiritual insight and spiritual faith for ministry, even as he had given it to Elijah. Today we're going to talk about ministry, ministry to the Lord. And the main idea that we're going to track as we think about this story this morning is that Jesus gives his church a mission to fulfill. And every follower of Jesus is ordained by God to engage in Jesus' ministry for the glory of God. So in one sense, Elijah and Elisha are somewhat unique. Their stories are written in the Bible. But in another sense, they're men like you and me with the same nature as ours. And we're given a mission just as surely as they are given to engage in Jesus' ministry in this world. So today, as we think about spiritual ministry and we ask, well, how might I also receive God's blessing so that I will fulfill my part in the ministry of Jesus in this world, the ministry that God has given for me to accomplish for his glory? How might I receive his blessing? We first want to consider the spiritual ministry of God's servant. As we look back over the spiritual ministry of Elijah, we stand in awe of the miracles that God performed for him and then through him. We think of Elijah praying it wouldn't rain. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. We think of the ravens feeding Elijah by the brook Kereth. We think of the widow's oil and flour that never ran out, always being refilled. We think of the widow's son who died and was resurrected from the dead, brought back to life. We think of the fire that comes down from heaven, consumes the water-soaked sacrifice. We think of Elijah praying again that it would rain, and it rains. We think of the fire coming down from heaven, consuming the first and then the second set of 50 soldiers. We think of Elijah striking the Jordan River with his cloak and the Jordan River parting. From Elijah's life, it would be tempting to think that spiritual ministry is mainly about performing miracles. But we would have missed the whole point of Elijah's story if we think that. You see, the Lord did not send Elijah to Israel to do miracles. The miracles are only meaningful as a support to the ministry that God had given to him. The miracles are symbols, not the substance of his ministry. The miracles are simply witnesses that prove that Elijah is sent by the Lord and not by some false god, not by himself. So if the miracles are not Elijah's ministry. What is his ministry? Well, in Elijah's ministry, we find a common bond between him and every member of Jesus' church. You see, the truth that unfolds throughout Scripture is that spiritual ministry takes many forms, but every spiritual ministry possesses the common goal of leading others to know the Lord and to worship him. Every ministry, regardless of what ministry we're part of, as we're part of Jesus' church, has a goal of leading others to know the Lord and to worship him. The Lord sent Elijah to Israel to call this rebellious people to repent of their idolatry and sin and to turn back to the Lord and worship him. The Lord called upon Elijah to proclaim his word and to call men and women back to worship the one true and living God, and to turn away from all these dead idols. Elijah's message was simple. His message was not, hey, watch me do some miracles. His message was what? How long will you go on limping between two opinions? If the Lord is God, then follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. But you got to make a choice. And I'm calling you to turn away from Baal and turn away from these idols and to turn to the one true and living God. Don't limp any longer between two opinions. God sent Elijah to be salt and light to a nation that had turned away from Yahweh. You see, Elijah's ministry was not primarily even to criticize or condemn the nation for their sins. Elijah's ministry was to bring about a restoration through repentance and faith. And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you are part of Jesus' church, God has called you to do the exact same thing. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored?" He goes on to say, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they rather put it on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house." In the same way, he says, "Let your light shine before others." Who is he speaking to? Not just the 12 apostles. He's speaking to all who are following. "Let your light shine before others." Why? So that they might see your good works, so you might gauge in ministry, and then what? Give glory to God, your Father who is in heaven. Worship the Lord.
Rich will have some closing thoughts about today's message in a moment. Would you tell others about Knowing Christ Radio? We love to have new listeners join us as we try to know Christ more and more each week. Here's Rich.
Well, thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. We pray that this radio ministry would encourage you in your walk and worship and service of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus did give his church a mission to fulfill. And if you are a follower of Jesus, you are a member of his church. And I want to encourage you at the end of this message to simply take an action step. And one action step is to connect with the elders of your church or to connect with your senior pastor and just say, first of all, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for our church family. I'm praying that we will fulfill the mission that Jesus has given to us. And then ask the question, and is there any way that you think that I might be used by God to strengthen our church and the mission that Jesus has given us? Well, I believe God will use that question, use that conversation to open up some doors for you, to open up opportunities, to open up to you a whole new joy in your life, a whole new purpose. And so won't you consider that to connect with your pastor or your elders and talk with them over this mission of Jesus?
If you'd like to listen to this message again or download a copy, go to knowingchrist.org. If you've been blessed by this ministry, would you consider supporting us financially? All of the resources offered are sent with no cost to our listeners, so please help us continue to do that by giving a gift today. It's very easy. Just go to knowingchrist.org and select the support tab. That's knowingchrist.org. And thank you for your partnership. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church. For the sake